God has a word,
for me,
right now.
Right now.
Amen. Now throw your heads back and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 With your Bibles in your hands, glory to God. Mm-hmm. Let's all stand. Amen. As we turn to Matthew's chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. I really do want to encourage us, you know, we how important the word is and how important it is for us to see the word. Hearing the word is equally as important. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear it and don't believe it, you can't do it. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If you don't hear it, you won't believe it, and then you can't do it. And so we understand and know that the Lord gives us the strength and the power to do all that we are doing. Amen. Amen. And so let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. And so Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Glory to God. If you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus writes in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, everybody shout fast.
Fast.
He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Mm-hmm. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, everybody shout, but you.
But you.
But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you, everybody say you.
You.
So that you do not appear to men to be fasting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Thank you, Lord.
Remain standing.
Thank
glory
you,
to
Lord.
God. Remain standing. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word.
You,
we know, Lord, that your word is already blessed.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, we pray, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that as your word is being ministered and sent out and preached, Lord, that we would not be just hearers alone, God, but that we would do what this word says. Father, we thank you this morning for giving us a mind. And so today, Lord, we want you to help us to understand this word.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, for giving us a free will and the opportunity to make a choice. But today, Lord, we want to choose to do what this word says and obey it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would fill me with your spirit, that I might preach this word under your anointing power. I thank you, Lord, in advance for what your word shall accomplish in the life of your people.
Thank you, Lord.
Fill me now, Lord.
Yes, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord some praise.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You all may be seated. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I want you to turn to your neighbor. And I want you to say to your neighbor, have faith, in your fasting.
In your fasting.
Look at him again and tell him, have faith, in your fasting.
In your fasting.
Amen.
As Christians, whenever we commit to fasting, it is an undertaking that leads us into the will of God. Listen to this, for an increase to take place in our lives.
Amen.
I want you to get this. Not just in physical things.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when we're praying or when we're asking God or when we're seeking God's will in a certain situation, and we call ourselves to a fast, what we tend to do is when we're fasting, we're focusing on the object of what we're asking God to do. Amen. Amen. But fasting is not simply about the increase in the thing that is physical. But fasting, more importantly, has to do a great deal with supernatural matters. Because the truth is, if God just simply gives us what we want after we're fasting or while we're fasting, and we get the thing that we are fasting and asking God for, days will go by and we'll forget about God. But when we commit to a fast, what fasting is all about, fasting focuses on increase primarily in spiritual matters and spiritual things. And so if God does not do what I've asked him to do in the time frame that I wish that he would do it or would hope that he would do it, I'm not upset about it because I have increased in spiritual matters and I know that the God that I'm turning my plate down for and making a sacrifice for sees what I'm doing in faith and in his due season, he gonna give me what I ask for. Our problem as believers is we become so impatient. We think that if I do this for God, God has to immediately do this for me. And the truth is, fasting is done in order to seek a closer intimacy with God. Oh, hallelujah. As well as an act of petition for God to move on things in the life of the believer. How well do you know God this morning? How much time have you spent with God this week? Come on, amen, amen. Because when we commit to fasting or we commit to a fast, the understanding is I ought to be drawing closer to God in the midst of my fasting and not just worrying about the fact that I can't eat bologna and cheese sandwiches no more. Amen, come on, amen. And so often when we are fasting, we are focused on the food or the drink or the thing that we're fasting from, and we're giving that more attention than what God really wants to do in the midst of what we've asked him to do. And so the fasting is simply not about, I'm not going to eat no food. Because, you know, it's cosmopolitan today to fast. You know, you go to yoga classes. They want you to fast, and it'll help your digestive system. It'll make your skin look a little prettier. And so, people today, I want to kill a devil. People today are fasting for health reasons that have no understanding on the power that it produces in the life of the person who believes. And so what God is calling us to do in these 21 days, God is calling us to a fast, and he's given us areas to look upon that we want him to move in. But what we've got to understand is that fasting is the willing abstinence from some or all food, drinks, or both for a period of time to develop the believer commitment to trusting God. And if we pray without fasting, we still got to trust God. If we petition God to do something for us, it's not that, you know, well, I'm going to bully God. I'm going to make God do what I want him to do, because we're not going to make God do anything. The reality of it is God is looking for those who are going to operate based on faith so that when God does it, we know that God did it. And so when we fast, fasting is not about looking down at the plate. Fasting is about looking up to the Lord so that whatever is on our plate that we cannot eat, we're not confused by it or lured by it or drawn into it. And so now our stomachs are growling and we're walking around hungry. And I'm telling you, there is a place in God where you can be physically, you can satisfy the physical hunger and still be hungry spiritually. Amen. And what God wants to do, God does not want to feed our bellies. God wants to feed our souls. And so if our souls are going to be fed, we've got to lean not to our own understanding, but in everything. I'm going to say that again. In everything, we have to acknowledge God, because he is the one that does what? That directs our path. Turn to somebody and say, it ain't about the food. And so fasting is the willing abstinence from some or all food, drinks, or both. Philippians chapter 2, Paul reminds all believers that he says, to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, Jesus fasted for 40 days. And so you understand the chronological order of things and how God operates. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and the angel or the dove ascended upon him, and God spoke from heaven and said, this is my son and who I am well pleased. And then Jesus went on a fast. And then after the fast, while he was in the wilderness, he was still struggling with things physical, but spiritually he was stronger. And so when he was tempted three times, after the temptation of the devil is when his ministry started. And I'm telling you this morning that I don't care how hungry you are during a fast, that there's something that God has planned for you. When it's over, there's a reward or a prize because of your pressing through. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Paul says, so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Listen, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. That's what makes a sacrifice, that's really what a sacrifice should look like for a believer. Fasting is making a sacrifice unto God. So in the text, glory to God. And so in this text, Jesus is talking about fasting as a Christian duty. Now, when you have a duty to do something, has in its core understanding of what a duty represents, a responsibility. And so if you have a duty as a parent to help support your children and help your children when they need help, guess what? When your children come to you for help, it's your duty as the parent. There are duties that the husband has. There's duties that the wife has. There's duties that you have on your job. That when you go to your job, there's a duty that you are called to do. And the duty that you're called to do is your responsibility. It's not something that you say, well, you know, I'll do it if I feel like doing it. No, because the duty does not ascribe to it a choice. Help us, Lord Jesus. A duty says that this is your responsibility that you have to meet. And so Jesus in the text talks about fasting as a Christian duty required of those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fasting is not about losing weight. Now, you may lose some weight. Glory to God. But don't glory in the weight loss. Because fasting ain't about that. Fasting is not about your skin getting prettier. Now, your skin may get prettier. Amen. But that's not the focus of why we fast. I'm saying something without saying something. I want you all to hear this. But fasting is a physical exclamation point at the end of a plea or our plea to God concerning a situation in our lives. And so, yes, I may lose weight. Yes, my skin might get a little better looking and prettier. But those are the results out of being obedient to God. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. You ought to shout amen right there. Because understand that if I do my due diligence and what the Lord has given me the strength to do, then it's an exclamation point. When I say, God, this is what I'm in need of, then when I fast over it or I turn my plate down, it is an exclamation point to God saying, listen, they're serious about what they need. And sometimes I don't think we're serious about what we need from God. Sometimes I think we playing around with God. We shouting when it ain't no need to shout. We rolling on the floor when it ain't no need. And the reality of it is what God responds to. God responds to faith. And so you can shout and cry all night long. And guess what? God won't move one inch. Because if you don't believe that God can do it, crying about it ain't going to move God. What moves God is obedience to what he's called us to do. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And so God in his providential rule over our lives will sometimes call us for a time of fast. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times that I got up in the morning and I was ready to smack my lips on some breakfast. And when I got up in the morning, the Lord arrested my understanding and said, no, listen, I want you to fast today. Well, I want you to fast for an hour. I want you to fast for 2 hours. And the goal is, see, you don't get a reward for how long you fast. You get a reward for when you fast, are you obedient to what God said do? And sometimes God calls us to a fast. But he also gives us the liberty in him to be able to say, Lord, I'm praying to you for something, and so I'm going to call myself to a fast. And so in these 21 days, yes, this is a call, a clarion call for God from the church that he has blessed us to be a part of, that we're going to fast for 21 days. But when you leave the building, guess what? You're still part of the church's mandate. And so the fast at some point during these 21 days has to move from it being a general call to now a personal call.
That's right. Amen.
I ain't fasting because the pastor said fast for 21 days. I appreciate him saying that. But I'm fasting now during these 21 days because there's something that I need. Good God Almighty, Lord, who am I speaking to? There's something that I need God to do for me. And in order for me to put an exclamation point, not that I need to get God's attention because he's always watching over me, because the Bible says that he has his eye on the sparrow. So if he has his eye on the sparrow, I know he's watching me. And so the concern is not that I want God's attention because I already have his attention. What I need now in the situation that I'm going through or the things that we're going to pray over, I want God's hand to move in it.
Yeah. Thank you,
I want his hand to move.
Yes, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father.
And so we honor God through giving something up. Doesn't that change your whole perspective on what fasting ought to look like? It's not about, Lord, I ain't going to eat no cheeseburgers the whole time I'm fasting. The reality is that guess what? If you're doing it with the wrong kind of heart, guess what? It won't count. Because if you and I are focused on the cheeseburger I love cheeseburger, boy, I can't wait till this 21 day fast is up. Or I can't, you know, I'm a fast for breakfast. Woo! I can't wait till 12 noon or 1:30 when I can eat my lunch. Then your focus is on the wrong thing. Because the focus is not on the next time I'm going to get ready to eat. The focus is I'm going to honor God during the time I can't eat.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. And so there are two things that we as believers must do in having faith when we fast. Turn to somebody and say to them, have faith when you fast.
Have faith when you fast.
That when we fast, it takes faith and strength to do a fast that honors God. Now I'm going to specifically now talk to the diabetes folks and the folks who have all kinds of challenges and conditions and saying, well, you know, Pastor, I can't miss a meal. I want to encourage you. I'm in the same boat you in. But I'm here to tell you that whenever I have committed, good God Almighty, whenever I have committed to fast and to honor God, guess who kept my health? The Lord did. And I'm at work, I'm moving around, I'm helping kids. It ain't like I'm sitting down humming saying, Lord, for a whole 2 hours, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to sit right here and I'm just going to fast and I'm going to think about macaroni and cheese. I'm going to think about cheeseburgers. I'm going to think about french fries. But Lord, I'm not going to eat none. That ain't no fast. So first thing. We want the hand of God to move in the situation. And so the first thing is that you cannot, when we fast and we have faith in our fasting or during the time that we're fasting. Listen, you cannot be sanctimonious when you are fasting. Listen, watch this. Turn to somebody and say, fasting is private.
Fasting is private.
Look what Jesus says in verse 16. Mm-hmm. Jesus says in verse 16, he says, moreover, now I want to help you understand something, that in chapter 5, Jesus starts preaching a message on the mountaintop while others were sitting down listening to him preach. And he started with the Beatitudes, what we need to be. He started with that. And so Jesus is having, I call it a preaching stretch where he talked about several things when he was preaching from the mountain. He talked about marriage is a sacrifice. He talked about love your enemies. He talked about do good and please God. And it's in chapter 6. Even while he was preaching, he taught them the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. But then when he gets down to verse 16, he says in verse 16, now he's talking to those who would believe. You understand what I'm saying? And so when he gets to verse 16, Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus uses the word hypocrite because a hypocrite is someone who is a pretender.
Yeah.
or deceiving others with their actions. See, that's the person that shouts hallelujah in church, but still going to the club on Friday night and hanging out and drinking. Oh, okay, I'm going to walk down. We didn't get no hallelujahs on that. But I'm going to walk right down Main Street because God has called the believer to a level and an expectation of excellence. And so you can't say that I'm a representative, I'm an ambassador for Christ, and then my lifestyle and my life does not coincide with the company that owns me. Come on, amen. You can't be an American citizen and you're an ambassador for the United States and then you go over to China and act any old kind of way. Listen, when it get back to America, how you acted over in China, they might throw your behind out of America. But I'm so glad that the world isn't like Jesus is.
Yeah.
That being an ambassador for Christ, listen to what he says. So a hypocrite is a person who practice or claims or claiming to have a moral standard or belief to which one's own behavior does not conform to. Paul said it like this. Paul said they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. And so Jesus says, when talking to the believer, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrite with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what the Lord said, that they may appear to men to be fasting. And so turn to somebody and say, don't look hungry. Look at them. Don't look hungry, even though you're hungry. Come on, look at him. Tell him, don't look hungry. Even though you're hungry. Yeah. Turn him again and say, don't look tired. Even though you're tired. You understand what I'm saying? This thing is not that others, that's why fasting is private. Ain't nobody really supposed to know you fasting. And you ought not be walking around with your face disfigured, even if you go out to lunch with them and they say, hey, are you eating? You say, no, I'm not eating today. Well, how come you're not eating? Because I don't want to. You don't have to tell them, well, you know, I'm on a glory to God. You know, we always trying to seem sanctimonious when it's really ain't. Well, hallelujah, you know, glory to God. You know, I'm on a 21-day fast. My church is called the 21-day. Glory to God. You don't have to do all of that. Sometimes you may have to tell them, nah, I'm going to pass on lunch today. I'll talk with y'all later. Or I'm not going to go to dinner with y'all tonight. I'm going to pass on that. I'll talk to y'all later. You don't have to give an explanation on why you're not eating something. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And so Jesus says, don't walk around with your face disfigured, looking all uncomfortable, looking all hungry. And for somebody to ask you, you know, because we do it all the time. We'll walk into certain situations and look all sad looking because we really do want somebody to ask us, you know, is everything all right? And then we say, well, you know, everything ain't all right. I got this going on. I got this. We're talking to the wrong people. Instead of talking to God, we're talking to them. And so when we fast, fasting is honoring God. And so the only person that needs to know you're fasting is the Lord. Now, we're going to know because we're doing this for 21 days. And so we're going to talk about it, you know, and pray about it every Sunday. But the reality of it is that when you're, whatever meal you choose to pass over and to fast during, listen, that's between you and God. And so therefore, you got to be reading some scriptures. You got to be praying. You got to get yourself in a sanctified mindset and an understanding because of the righteousness of God that has been bestowed upon us as believers. We've got to get ourselves into a place where we can either hear from God or we can feel or know the presence of the Lord is with us. And so that when we're fasting and we're honoring God, we know that whatever I need God to do, I'm sacrificing and showing God that He's not the only one that can make or did make a sacrifice. That we said all the sacrifices God done made. Listen, it's just like your mom and your daddy. After all they've done for you, and they ask you to do one thing, and you act like you got a problem with it. I'm talking to some of the children now. You better get yourself up and take that trash out. Do this, do that. Because we as parents, we make a what? A sacrifice for our children. Yeah. So you ain't got no, listen. And so because God has made a sacrifice for us, when in the world did you and I think we had a choice when it comes to the things of God? If God say get up, guess what? Get yourself up. If God says I need you to do this, I don't care how many people ridicule you, get up and do it. Why? Because He made a sacrifice for us on Calvary's cross.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you. And I'm telling you, if He don't do another thing for you and I, He has already done more than enough. Yes. If He don't listen, if He don't do another thing for you. He's already proven Himself to be God. He's already proven Himself to be the Lord. And so Jesus is telling the believer to not mock fasting. Don't be telling nobody, yeah, you know, I'm trying to lose 20 pounds, so I'm going to fast for 3 days. No, that's the wrong motivation. And then you fast and your skin start looking better. You start losing weight and you can't wait for somebody. They say, boy, your skin look real good. What you doing? You know, I've been fasting for 3 days already and my skin. No, that's the wrong motivation. That's about you. That's not about God. I told you anytime we're the benefactors of God's amazing grace. And so anytime we do something for God and we honor God in what we're doing, I'm telling you this morning, you're going to get some benefit from it.
Amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. See, proclaiming a fast and managing it so that all who see you... when you're managing it improperly, that all who see you may take notice that you're fasting. It's not the purpose of fasting. See, what we have to understand is we have to know that our fasting along with prayer produces God's power in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. I want God's power more than food. I want the anointing of God to be on me. I want the anointing of God through me fasting. Glory to God. I want that more than potato salad. Come on. Hallelujah. See, the thing that we have been focusing on so often when we fast. See, the food is something that is replaceable. But the honoring God and the things that God can only do is irreplaceable. And so if I'm dependent on food, I ought to be depending on God more than I'm dependent on food. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's going to be a rough 21 days. But I'm telling you, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. We have to understand that giving up something in order to focus on God is a practice that Jesus engaged in. You understand what I'm saying? What it does, it draws us closer to God. And I don't know anybody that calls himself a Christian or that claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ that doesn't want to come closer to God. I don't know anybody that says, well, you know what? I'm all right with this far distance relationship with God because I really like doing what I want to do over what God calls me to do. And so I'd rather be in a distance to God because then I'm not held accountable to what God wants me to do. I'm telling you this morning, because you're a believer, you are held accountable. And so don't look around and say, well, you know, the Lord know my heart. Yes, the Lord knows our heart. But guess what? He gave you and I his spirit to override what your heart says. Yeah. Come on, we got to stop pulling them cards out of our pocket. Well, the Lord know my situation. Yeah, he knows your situation. But he's given you and I power to be able to stand in it strong until he pulls us out of it. Come to somebody and say, stop mocking God. Yeah. Stop giving God excuses about why we cannot do something over what God has said. I've given you the power and the authority to do it.
Amen.
Fasting. Fasting can and will help us focus. Fasting can and will help our thoughts to be conformed under the authority of God. Good God of mine. Yeah. Fasting. And listen, it will help us to understand spiritual things a whole lot better. And fasting along with prayer and reading scripture is almost taking the filter off of what God can do and taking the water out of something and giving us the concentrated authority and power of God to move on and in our situations.
Amen.
See, we need to understand that fasting is an act of obedience. But listen to what I'm saying. It's also an act of self-denial. And I'm telling you right now, a whole lot of us struggle with denying ourselves. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whole lot of us are in denial. We're in denial, but we're in denial about things that we know God wants us to do, but we don't want to do it because I'm going to lose friends or I'm going to lose this or I'm going to lose that. Well, listen, the reality of it is that if you don't do it, you're going to lose more. Oh, I'm gonna preach right to myself, Lord. I'm gonna walk right down Main Street. Because what God helped me when I was studying, what God helped me to understand, God was helping me to understand, and not that I didn't know it, but he gave a deep understanding to me is how important it is to simply do the things that God has already ordained for us to do and as part of his promises for us to do.
Yeah.
Now we want from God, but God says, I want from you. Yeah, God, move on this situation, God. And God says, okay, but now I need you to move on this situation. And so there are things that we are praying and asking God to do, and God wants to do them, and God will do them, but there's something that you and I have to do in order that God can see in us that, yeah, they really trust me over the things that I could give them. They love me more than the stuff. Say amen, somebody. And so we need to understand that fasting is an act of self-denial. It is holy retaliation on the will of our flesh.
Yeah.
Holy retaliation. In other words, as much as our flesh wants to rise up, listen, the Spirit of the Lord gives us power over it to retaliate. And say, I ain't doing that. You can't make me do that no more. And so often that when we fast is giving up something for God. But when you look at what God has sacrificed for you and I, yeah, giving that thing up, giving a meal a day, what you talking about? Listen, Jesus was on the cross for 9 hours. That's a work day plus overtime.
Yes.
To make a sacrifice.
Yes. Amen.
For us.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again, to make a sacrifice for us.
Yes.
And so fasting is making a sacrifice unto the Lord to honor God, and something that you may need God to do for you. But the thing is, the focus is not on God, do this for me. That's the secondary understanding of it. But the primary focus is God, work in me. So that if you don't move on it in a week, I'm all right with it. That if you don't move on it in a year, I got power. If you don't move it on it in 2 years, then I'm walking in victory, because I understand that my relationship with you and honoring you is more important than what I'm asking. So that's the dilemma, that we ask God and then we focus on the object and the outcome, wanting God to do it. And if God doesn't move fast enough or quick enough, what we do? We go back to doing whatever we wanted to do, because the reality of it is we were not patient enough to stand in this thing, to see God move us in it, and to see what the end was going to look like. Old folks had it. I'm telling you, them old folks that used to talk about, well, I'm going to see what the end going to be. I'm going to see how God won't work this out. And they stayed in troubling positions.
Yeah.
Until God did something. And so the reality is that fasting is a means to curb the flesh and the desires of it, and to make us more lively in walking in faith.
Yes,
to exercise, and I want us to get this, to exercise the fullness of what God wants to accomplish in our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm telling you right now, as much as I like bologna and cheese sandwiches, I understand one thing, is that is not the will of God for my focus to simply be on bologna and cheese sandwiches.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? And so turn to somebody and say, fasting is private. Jesus said, ain't nobody supposed to know you fasting. You ain't supposed to walk around looking like you hungry. You ain't supposed to walk around looking like you tired. You ain't supposed to walk around looking like something is wrong with you. Because the reality of it is that if I believe that God is the sustainer of my life, then if I don't eat for a whole day, guess what? I believe that God, because I'm honoring him with this, I believe that God is going to do what? Sustain my life.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Second thing. Glory to God. Second thing.
Amen.
Look at verses 17 and 18. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody again and say, fasting is private. Then Jesus says this. That when I read it, and as much as I have read this portion of scripture, I had to chuckle inside of myself, because we are sometimes so super spiritual that, you know, we read something and the Bible could be talking about something really simple. And we, oh, hallelujah, oh, you got to do, oh, you got, we're so super spiritual sometimes that we miss the simple. And so look at verse 17, glory to God. Verse 17 says, but when you, talking to believers, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Mm-hmm. See? Anoint your head and wash your face. Now, we could look at the anointing your head, and we could make that spiritual, that the anointing of God wants to rest on you, and I believe that. I believe that. But the washing your face, I'm sorry. I cannot make that I cannot make that spiritual. That's simple. And so that's what Jesus says. He's saying it, but now I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that. But when he said it, he says it so that we will have the understanding that there's a certain look that we ought to have as believers. And we ought not, you know, we ought not get up in the morning and say, well, you know, I'm going to fast today. And we don't put no effort into how we look. That we walking to work, got coal in our eye, slob, all, you know, come on. Jesus makes this super clear because then he says, listen to this. Then he says, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. Did you get that? Second thing, you have to put on, or you have to put your faith in God's will when you are fasting.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to put your faith in God's will when you're fasting.
Yeah.
And so
Amen. Amen.
If there's a certain sickness that you have, and most of you know I'm diabetic, I'm a heart patient.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that if I trust God to keep me,
thank you, Lord.
when I do eat, then the same God that keeps me when I do eat is the same God that's going to keep me when I don't eat.
Amen.
Glory to God. You ought to shout amen right there. Because my faith is in God doing what? Keeping me.
Yes.
And so if I have faith to believe that God is a what? A keeper.
Yes,
the Bible says that he keeps that which belongs to him. And I know I belong to him. And we belong to him if you're a believer. If I believe that and know that, then I shouldn't have one worry in the world when I turn my plate down and say I'm not going to eat that. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Turn to somebody and say, it's right.
It's right.
Jesus does not tell us how often we should fast because circumstances in our lives do vary. And so even though it's a duty, it's not something that we got to do every single day. Now, if God calls you to that for a period of time, then you do that. If you have a situation going on in your life and you want to see the hand of God move on it, then you do that. But the circumstances vary enough that whenever you fast, your fast still has to honor God. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 58, is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head and to spin or to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Now, Isaiah mentioned sackcloth and ashes. Listen to what I'm saying, because it was an Old Testament time symbol that whenever someone was fasting, something was dying. Oh, glory to God. And so the ashes, you know, we say that at funerals, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And so the ashes represented death, and the sackcloth represented mourning, because people who were mourning in the Old Testament for someone, they wore sackcloth. And so Isaiah says that sackcloth and ashes, it was used in the Old Testament when someone was mourning, a symbol of mourning, or listen to this, or repentance. Hallelujah. That's a nasty word in the church today, too. We don't repent for nothing no more. We just do what we're going to do, and then we pray and say, Lord, you know my heart, and we keep on doing what we want to do. We come back to God, Lord, you know my heart. But in order for God's power and favor and forgiveness to fall on the heart and the situation of what the believer did, you've got to repent. And so when someone wanted to show their repented heart, they would often wear sackcloth and they would sit in ashes and put ashes on the top of their forehead. That's what Ash Wednesday is all about. Ash Wednesday, I want to help somebody. Ash Wednesday is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But through Catholicism and even the Christian church, we have taken Ash Wednesday, and it has a great context, a connotation to the church, because the ashes represent death. And so it's from that Ash Wednesday, which is the 40th day up until the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It is that ash cross that people put on their foreheads, walk around with it all day long. And the reality is that for 40 days, I'm going to give something up. I'm going to make a sacrifice for something in these 40 days up until the crucifixion. But the understanding is you don't have to wait 40 days. You could fast for 3 days honoring God. You could fast for 2 hours honoring God. See, because again, the focus is not on the food, the focus is on our faith. And so there are times when you are maturing as a believer in your faith, that the wisdom of God will direct you and your spirit will yield to a fast. And whether God calls you to it or you're choosing to do it, your spirit must yield to the fast. Because we got to trust God over everything. By yielding to the Spirit when we undertake a fast, we do it to approve ourselves to God.
Amen.
Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, but when you fast, he says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But listen to this. He says, but to your Father who is in the secret place. Good God Almighty. And so you mean to tell me that God is not in the public place all the time? That there's some moments when God pulls us up to get our attention and he sits us down in a secret place where nobody knows our business. Nobody knows what we're going through. Nobody knows what our situation is. And in the secret place, God begins to, I don't know if you've ever met God in a secret place where God had to minister to your greatest need and only you and God knew what were really going on. And you were in the secret place. You didn't cry in the public, but in the secret place, you cried all night long because God touched an issue.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
In your life.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And says, I want to do something about this.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Sometimes we struggle in it and say, well, Lord, I'm going to see if I can hang in a little while longer. God said, I don't want you to hang in a little while longer because I've already hung on it all that I could do. And I brought you out of what you are in so that you would understand that I am the God who is almighty. I am the righteous God who orders your steps. That I am the way maker in your life. That no matter what, listen, I'm the one that narrows the road that you walk on and makes it real tight sometimes. But I'm also the God that will give you some space to move around in so that you can operate in an understanding that I've called you to. I am the God that while you are laying down, I'm able to keep you. I am the God that when you raise up, I'm able to direct you. I am the God that when all hell is breaking loose in your life, I've given you authority to walk through storms and still come out a storm maker. I've blessed you to the point that you can go through heartache and trial but come out looking like a rose. Because I am the God who is with you. There's nothing that you can go through. There's nothing that you can experience.
Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And so when we fast, we yield.
Thank you, Father.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We yield.
Thank you, Lord.
It's just like driving on a off ramping. And another car's coming, and they have the right of way. You will get it.